I wanted to discuss today a really unique question that has come up of late at the intersection between Hilchos Shabbos and the situation with coronavirus. The shir should be'ezrat Hashem be for Refuah Shleima for Baruch David ben Ita Nechama. We find ourselves living in unprecedented times and dealing with unique she'elot that come up on a daily basis. And due to the exceptional circumstances we are living within, we find ourselves wearing surgical masks on a daily basis, whenever we leave our homes, whether it's to minyan in a place where minyanim are allowed, or when just going for a nice short stroll in the afternoon. Over the course of the shaila, I want to discuss a really fascinating question that's come up as a result of our wearing face masks. When dealing with surgical masks, they're often three-ply masks that are meant to prevent that which you exhale and give off, to prevent bacteria that you might have or a potential virus that you're carrying from affecting others, and also to try and minimize the amount that you're susceptible to that which other people are, you know, putting off into the air. But in order for the masks to be most effective, the wearer needs to cover properly their mouth and their nose to limit that which both they inhale and exhale. And as a result, to make the mask most effective, at the top there's generally a malleable metal strip that is meant to be bent around the top of one's nose in order to create a proper seal of the mask amongst their mouth, nose, and face. And the goal is to really mold the mask to the wearer's face in the most simple and effective manner, while also keeping it relatively cheap and effective. And the question that comes out of this is, can one bend the metal strip on Shabbos in order to create this seal over their nose with the mask? If I take a new mask, can I bend it so that I create the new fold? Or really, no, if I forget, let's say you have a mask you've been wearing all week and you wear it Friday night to shul, and it was very, very warm out, and now all of a sudden your mask is you know, not so clean anymore, it smells a little, you know, so you want to take a new mask for Shabbos morning. Can I take a new mask if that means I'm going to have to bend the strip on Shabbos? Maybe bending the strip is makeh v'patish. I'm hammering the final blow. Right now the mask, it's a plain flat thing. It's not so, it doesn't really help me so much. Only when I bend the metal does the mask now really have, you know, a shem chalos mask, because now it's effective. Or am I going to say that it's problem metaken mana? No, the mask was really fine beforehand, and now I'm just fixing it. I'm bending it a little bit to make it more effective. That doesn't make a new kli. It's not makeh v'patish where I'm hammering the final blow, but I am in a way fixing it. Or maybe this is just normal, a regular shiloh that comes up of boneh. So for sure, we're going to try and discuss today a little bit of matakin mana, makeh v'patish, and boneh, and how boneh applies. Is there boneh usoter bekelim? Are we going to say that, you know, can I lechatchila do something that's roughway, that's, you know, not going to stay, you know, it's very loose, it's not so permanent? And what about, you know, binyan l'shah? And we're going to try and discuss some of these issues over the course of shir to get to a halakha l'maisa discussion of whether or not one can bend the metal strip on their face mask on Shabbos. The first question we're going to deal with is regarding the malacha of boneh. Is there going to be a problem here of potentially building or creating, you know, when bending the metal? And first we have to deal with whether or not there's a problem of boneh usoter bekelim. Is boneh only something that's mechubar lakarka, you know, such as a house or a fence or, you know, something of the likes where I'm really building something, you know, a structure? Or does boneh usoter apply when dealing with, you know, smaller vessels? Question that most commonly comes up is when, you know, you want to open up a can of tuna or canned corn, things of the like, where when I open the can, that is going to also create a new kli, because now it used to have a sealed can, and now, for example, I have a bowl. I have a small bowl that I can eat my tuna out of. Okay? So the Gemara in Beitza on the Chaf Bet Amad Aleph, and Shabbos, the Chaf Bet Amad Bet, seems to have, you know, discusses this, and Beit Shammai and Rav both hold that there's boneh bekelim, whereas in Beit Hillel and Shmuel seem to understand, no, there's no such thing as boneh usoter bekelim. And this is, you know, a big question, because generally we know that halacha l'maisa we paskin like Hillel, we often generally paskin like Rav. So how could it be that Rav paskin like Beit Shammai here? And it seems to be a stira. If we follow Kalei Psak, according to the Gemara in Beitza, halacha like Beit Hillel, there's no boneh usoter bekelim. Wherein there's Gemara in Shabbos, we have a stira. It would seem to say halacha would be like Rav, and as a result, it should be that there is bona sota b'kelim. And this is a question that the Rishonim deal with. And Rav Haigon wanted to say no. We have a few different answers in the Gemara. We're going to try and understand some of the Rishonim and see how that applies in the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, Halacha L'maisa, and understand how that would apply in our situation when dealing with face masks. So Rav Haigon explains that Beit Hillel understood that there's bona sota b'kelim. Really, Beit Hillel agrees with Rav and Beit Shammai. But the Gemara in Beitza is dealing with a different case. As in, the case in the Gemara in Beitza, without getting into the Gemara so much, is a very unique, specific case. And that does not necessarily apply to the general topic of Bona Sota B'Kelim, which, so really, Halacha L'maisa, Beit Hillel would agree with Rav and Beit Shammai that there really is Bona Sota B'Kelim, and the Machloket in Beitza between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is a situational Machloket and not dealing with the general question of Bona and Sota B'Kelim. That is how Rav Haigon understands this Machloket. Now I want to just see in the understanding of different Shitot in the Rishonim how what we really hold with Bona and Sota B'Kelim. Rashi understands that there's no such thing as Bona and Sota B'Kelim, with one exception. If it's a large kli that holds more than mem sa'a, more than 40 sa'a, that would be a problem of bona and sota b'kelim. So this could potentially happen of, let's say, you know, you have a very large cabinet that you want to put together on Shabbos, and you go to IKEA and you buy the cabinet, and clearly the cabinet, it's a vessel. It's not, you know, part of a house. But you buy a big, you know, six-door closet, or even a four-door closet probably holds 40 sa'a. And now I want to put it together on Shabbos, and it's all the pieces are there. All you put the screw here, you tighten a little this and that, and all of a sudden you have a nice closet, but it all comes basically in pieces ready to be put together. So there Rashi would say that is going to be bona, and that's not called bona b'kelim because it's more than memsah. And we have a cloud generally that we assume that something that's more than memsah, even though it is not going to be attached to the ground, something that holds more than 40 sa'a is kimechuber lekarka. It's very large, and as a result, it becomes, you know, basically like a permanent thing. And that's why Rashi is machalik, that if it's smaller than 40 sa'a, then there's no bona b'kelim. But if it's more, then that would be bona b'kelim. That would be a problem. And the Rambam and Rif understand that there's never bona b'kelim. Although there are those of the Achronim who want to say that the Rambam and Rif would agree with Rashi that if it held more than 40 sa'a, then for large kalim there would be bona b'kalim. But pshat in the Rambam and Rif is that there's never bona and sota b'kalim. But definitely there are opinions out there that the Rambam and Rif are like Rashi that are mechalik, that under 40 sa'a, no bona and sota b'kalim. And if it's more than 40 sa'a, there would be. The Rashba and the Ran want to say that when we're dealing with the whole discussion of bona or sota b'kalim is only if I have a kli, and the kli fell apart, right? It fell apart over because of use. And as a result, I want to put it back together. And when it comes to putting back together a kli that fell apart, then there's never bona and sota b'kelim. But if I am making a new kli for the first time, then there's bona b'kelim. And the way the Rashba and the Ran would say it, it's a diuk in the lashon. We're being medayik in the wording. There's no bona or sota b'kelim. When I take a kli and I build it, because it was a kli and it fell apart, and now I put it back together again, that's not called bona b'kelim. But if I make a new kli for the first time, that's not bona b'kelim. That's not building with kelim. That's bniat kli. That is making a kli for the first time, and that would be problematic. And Tosfot and the Rosh will understand that the difference is there is bona b'kelim when I do hiduk or dibuk, when I glue a kli together or I strongly affix it in a permanent manner, that would be usser. That would be called binyan bekelim. But if it's attached in a light manner that's not permanent, then there's no bona bekelim. Bona bekelim for the Tosfot and the Rashi is permanent versus non-permanent. Whereas in for Rashi and potentially Rambam and the Rif would be large versus small. And Rashba versus the Ran is new versus reassembling. And the Shulchan Aruch Halacha L'maaseh paskins, there's no binyan b'kelim unless it's a binyan gemura, which is similar to the opinion of Tosfot and the Rosh. If it's, you know, a complete total binyan, right, it's a permanent matter, then that would be problematic, seemingly regardless of size. But if it's not permanent, then the Shulchan Aruch would say that's not called binyan b'kelim. The Ramah adds in that we're choshesh for the opinion of Rashi, and that if it's a large kli, it's more than 40 sa, that would also be problematic. Thus, according to this opinion here, if we were to just stop the shiur right here, it would seem to be quite clear that for the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, there's, and you know, based on all the Rishonim we've mentioned so far, there's no problem of Binyan Bekelim when it comes to a face mask. It's definitely not more than 40 saw, and it's not permanent, and it's something that was already made. It's not like you're making a new kli. The face mask is ready. You're just bending it to kind of just, you know, make it a little bit better for your face. It's like, you know, you're basically just taking something that was made and just fitting it in a little bit better. It's as if you were now, you want to put on your belt, and the belt has a bunch of different holes in it. So you choose, instead of putting it on the third hole, you put it on the fourth hole. You're taking a belt that exists, and you're just making it, you know, fit into the situation a little better. And it would seem to be, if we were to stop shear right now, that for sure, adjusting the metal strip on your face mask for on Shabbos would be totally fine. There's an interesting discussion that comes up based on the Yerushalmi in Shabbos Perek HaGadol and Halacha Bet as to whether or not Binyan L'Sha'a is called Binyan. If I make something in a non-permanent fashion, I want it to be made, and I'm going to take it apart very shortly, is that called Binyan? Is that called actually building something? Right? This is a question that comes up all the time when dealing with, you know, do you want to make Legos or Kinects or things of this sort? Can I build something knowing I'm going to take it apart in a short while? It's not going to exist. Without getting into the discussion of how long it's going to last for or not. And the Yerushalmi brings down this discussion. It's mashma from the Yerushalmi, halacha lemaisa from the Yerushalmi, that if you were to do binyan l'sha'a, it would really, that's called binyan, and that would be problematic. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, whose yahrzeit was yesterday on Gimel Tammuz, and the Chasam Sofer, seem to say, no, the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi, and there's no such thing as binyan l'sha'a. Right? If you build something for just one short hour, for a short time, and you're going to take it apart, that would be mutter. There'd be no problem. For Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chasam Sofer, that seems to really not be a problem. The Or Sameach, though, wants to say that the Bavli actually agrees with the Yerushalmi and holds that there is Binyan L'Sha. If you build something on a temporary basis, that would be called Binyan. And the Tila L'David doesn't get into the question of Bavli Yerushalmi. He wants to say the Yerushalmi said that there's Binyan L'Sha. And based on the Mordechai, who's a Rishon, so he saw the Bavli and Yerushalmi, he says the Tila David is being Medaik in the Lashon of the Mordechai, saying there clearly is Binyan L'Sha. So Tila David paskes like the Mordechai that there is Binyan L'Sha. The Or Sameach holds like the Bavli that there is Binyan L'Sha. And Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chasam Sofer say no, there's no Binyan L'Sha. So how would that apply with our face masks? When you wear your face mask, you're wearing it for a short time. When you take it off, you know, you want to bend it back just to, you know, it's easier to take off maybe, or, you know, it's a one-time thing. You know, you wear your face mask, and after davening, you throw it out because you don't want to keep rewearing the same face mask over and over because, you know, you want it, there's germs on it, and you want to make sure that your face mask and you're breathing the cleanest air possible to prevent both coronavirus and any other potential illness that you could pick up. And as a result, the question would be whether or not Binyan L'Sha is a relevant question here or not, and that's going to be machloket and how we understand it, but that's not going to really be the key factor in our question. And the next question that we want to deal with, though, is going to be whether or not there is, you know, a question of Bniyat Kli Rafoi. Can I intentionally build a loose item? Right, we mentioned before that there's going to be a difference between hiduk and dibuk when I attach something in a very, very fixated manner or I glue it versus, you know, I just lightly screw something in or I make a very, very, you know, non-permanent, you know, fitting. That was the chiluk that the Tosfot and the Rush, you know, brought down. And that seems to be how the Shulchan Aruch paskened also. So can I intentionally build something in a non-permanent fashion? Melechatchila. As in mashma from Tosfot and the Rush, it would be that if I built it, I wouldn't be chayev if I did it in a non-permanent fashion. But can I ideally build something in a non-permanent fashion in order to use it on Shabbos? As in, just because it's not chayev, that doesn't mean that I could lechatchila go and do it. And that's the question that the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph discusses. Can I take a broken kli and put it back together in a permanent fashion? And the Gemara seems to say that would be bona midioraita. But if I were to do it in a non-permanent way, I generally would think, if I do something in a permanent manner, it's Aser Dioraita. But if I do it in a non-permanent manner, generally we would think that would be Aser Midarabanan. But the Gemara mentions here that if I do it in a non-permanent way, it seemingly is Mutar L'Chatchila. And that leads to a very, very interesting discussion. Because generally, it's either it's Aser D'oraita, and then if it's not permanent, we're going to say it's Aser D'rabanan, and because of a Gezeira, Shema Yitake, I'm afraid that, sure, now it's non-permanent. But you could come and, you know, take your hammer and bang it. And once you're, you know, you put it in loosely, we're afraid, Gezeira D'rabanan, that you're going to take your hammer and bang it in to make sure that it really sticks, or you're going to tighten it with your screwdriver a little bit tighter to make sure that it really sticks properly. So it would generally be Aser D'rabanan. So how are we now going to come and say that it really is mutter? How does this Gezeira Shema Yitake apply in our discussion? So the Torah Rif Rosh Rambam and Maharam is quoted. Maharam is recorded in the Torah also. All hold like the Rashbag, that who said in the Gemara that putting it together in a non permanent way is mutar lechatchila. We're not choshesh midiraban on Shema Yitake. Whereas in the Beit Yosef and the Hagot Ashri say that no, this is only something that's always made to be loosely affixed. Right, there's two types of things. There's something that, you know, you always do in a loose manner, and there's something that you generally do tight, and once in a while you know it fell off, so now you're going to attach it in a loose way. That would be still problematic because now I'm choshe shema yitake. Right, that is the discussion that comes up in the postgame of, let's say, you know, you have to sweep up a mess on Shabbos, so you take out the broom and the head of the broom fell off. So generally, when it comes to, you know, screwing on the head of the broom, it's something that you don't do on a daily basis. You generally tighten it once, and it's going to stay that way for a very long time. And so you generally would screw it in very tightly. And we generally paskins that you could screw it on lightly, but that's not, you know, and then tighten it after Shabbos or whenever you take it off and retighten it. But the Beit Yosef and Hagot Ashiri here would say no, that's not true. Because that's something that is generally tightened. Thus, it's problematic to do so in a loose way because the Gezeira Shema Yitake would apply. Whereas in the Rif, Rosh, Rambam, Torah, Maharam would say, no, if you tighten it loosely, you know, you loosely screw it on, that's going to be okay. And the Kolbo brings down in the name of the Ravid that it's not a question of what the Kli is about, but it's a question of what, you know, your mindset would be. Is it something that people are generally makbid about, that it's tight, or it's something people don't really care if it's loose or if it's tight? No one really matters. It doesn't matter to anybody. So the Kolbo brings down the name of the Ravid that if people are generally makbid about tightening it really tightly, so that's going to really be problematic on Shabbos, and that would be problematic because then even if you were to do it loosely, because you care or people generally care, there's a gzeira shema yitaka. We're afraid that really you are going to tighten it and you are going to do so in a problematic manner, that there's going to be an Iser D'rabanan even if you do it loosely. Okay? Whereas based on the Ravid, if it's something that people don't generally care about, then who cares? Because the Gezeira of Shema Yitake doesn't apply because it goes by, what's a Gezeira? It goes based on the way a person thinks. And if no one really cares about doing it in a permanent manner, so we're not afraid, we're not going to be gozer midrabanan, that you are going to be mitaken. And that would be a really important question when discussing our sugya here. And one last opinion in this question is the Magen Mishnah quotes in the name of the Rambam that no matter what, it would always be usher to do something in a loose manner if it... Yeah. Okay? That is going to be the different rishonim that we see in whether or not you can intentionally make something in a non-permanent fashion, melechatchila on Shabbos, that it's rafoy, that it's going to be loose, or it's not mehudak, it's not tight. And this question, when we look back at the question of our face masks with the little metal strips, it would seem to be that according lekulei alma, according to every opinion, with the exception of the Rashba, it would be mutter, because Rashba says you can never do something rafoy. So maybe for the Rashba, the face mask would always be aser. But for the Rif and the Tor and the Rosh and the Rambam and the Maharam, who held like the Rashbag and the Gemara, it's mutter lechatchila, there's no question. For the Beit Yosef and the Hagot Ashri, then it's something, you know, your mask is always loosely affixed, right? As much as you want it tight over your nose, it's not a permanent fix. It's not something that's there. It's something that changes when you take it on. When you take it off, it becomes, you know, a little bit loose, a little bit tighter. You know, it bends a little this way and that way, and you always kind of fix it a little bit when you put it on your face. That would never be a problem. And for the Kolbo, B'shem, the Ravid, it's not something people are makbid about. No one is makbid that their face mask is going to be perfectly tight every time they use it, and it's so perfectly affixed that we're afraid shemi yitake, because there is no shemi yitake. It's one strip of metal, and you're bending it a little bit here or there. Even for the kol b'shem the rabbit, it would really not be a problem at all. And also, there's no din of maybe shemi yitake with a chad pami mask. It's a one-time use mask. So we're not afraid you're going to, you know, do it in a permanent manner, because it's something it's inherently non-permanent. And it's interesting because the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Gimel Vav paskins that it's Aser Medio Raitza to make a Mitzat Parakim on Shabbos when done in a permanent manner. You can't put together, right, a type of bed that had different, you know, basically it was a folding bed that had little, you know, you'd screw on little legs, etc. And as a result, it is Aser Medio Raitza to do that in a permanent manner. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins, if you do it in a loose manner, it would be Mutzar. Seemingly paskining like the opinion of that he brings down himself in the Beit Yosef and the Agoda Shri, that if it's something that's, you know, if it's generally, sorry, no, wouldn't be exactly like that, but the Shulchan Aruch is basically saying that if it's permanent, it's going to be Aser D'oraita, but it's loose, it's Mutar, seemingly Pshat, like the Gemara and the Torah Rosh Rambam, right, not, you know, what he quotes in the Beit Yosef, based on the Agoda Shri, he basically paskins halachah l'maaseh on the Shulchan Aruch that it is like Rov Rishonim and Pshat and the Rashbag and the Gemara, that permanent would be Aser, but loose would be Mutter. And the Ramal quantifies this, and he points out that, sorry, he qualifies this, and says that it's only allowed if it's done loosely, but if it's made to be put on loosely. But if its intent is to be made strongly, like the Haggadah Shri, then it would be problematic. Okay? If you were to, so a kli that is made to be very loose would be okay. But something that's made to be permanent would be problematic. And thus it would seem, when we're dealing with our face masks, that it would, both for the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, would not be a problem. Because for the Ramah, who's makbid like the Haggadah Shri, that, you know, if it's meant to be permanent, it would be problematic. But it's not meant to be permanent here, because it's just a loose strip on your face mask. And for the Shulchan Aruch, he says, you know, so long as it's not permanent, it doesn't matter. It's fine. So far till now, really everything checks out that it's going to be good. And we have one last question that we're going to have to discuss that is going to potentially, you know, could throw a wrench in our whole question. Might really be not a problem. That's going to be the question of mitaken mana. Can I fix something? Which would be part of our issue of makiv patish, of hammer, you know, knocking out the final blow. And the Gemara in Beit Zedach, Chafchet Amud Bet, mentions that if I, let's say, you know, it's Yontif, so you're having a nice barbecue with your family and friends, or maybe, you know, in current situations, just with your family. And he says that, what happens if, you know, you have your barbecue going, and you're making some shish kebab, and your skewer gets bent from the heat of the grill? Can I just, you know, bend the skewer back so that it is, you know, easier to grill, and I can fit more meat on it because it's not, you know, ridged or whatever. The meat cooks better. Whatever reason I want to do it, can I bend my skewers on Yontif in order to use them? And the Gemara brings down, no, that's problematic. Why? Because bending the metal skewer back into, you know, a straight shape would be a problem with Takin Mana and Makav Patish, because you're fixing it. You are now literally hammering the final blow and making the skewer a more usable skewer. Because now it's more effective. So I would think, based on Pshat in this Gemara, that if I were to bend the metal on my mask, that would be problematic, just like bending the skewer, because now I am making it the same as bending the metal of my skewer, because I'm trying to make a kli more effective. As in, yes, right now it's usable, but I am doing something to make it better. And so, just like the skewer, bending the skewer would be problematic, so too, it would appear from the Gemara that bending the metal strip on your glasses would really be a problem. Not only that, the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha L'maaseh, and Hilchot Yom Tov paskins, that bending metal skewers is usher because of Mitaken Mana. And the Shulchan Aruch is Mechalek. If the skewer is so bent that it's unusable, then it would be usher M'dioraita to fix it. But if it was usable, and now you are just making it, you know, more usable, right? It wasn't like, you know, it was going in the garbage. It was something that I could salvage, but it wasn't great. It was a little annoying. It was less convenient. It was harder to use. That would only be Aser M'Dirabanan. So I would think, based on the Shulchan Aruch, that fixing my mask should be Aser Medera Abanan because it was usable without bending the metal. But now it's significantly better. It's significantly more usable in how I can use it from, you know, it's safer for me, for other people. And it would be, you know, it would be an Aser Medera Abanan to bend it. So I would think based on the Shulchan Aruch here. And based on the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Mem paskind that if I have a nettle, if I had a needle that got bent out of shape, then it would be usur to bend it back into shape on Shabbos or Yontif, just based on this Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. Because currently the needle's bent, I can't really use it, right? Let's say you need a, you know, discussion regarding using, you know, safety pins on Shabbos, or potentially to, you know, you have a splinter and you want to, you need to remove it, or something of the likes. And you need to use the needle for a small hole, but it's bent. So Magen Avraham says, based on the Shulchan Aruch, I can't bend the needle back. Or what happens in the case where you have glasses? Your glasses get bent out of shape, right? You know, so something happens on Shabbos, you trip, or you know, you leave the glasses on the table and they get knocked over, or someone puts the cholent pot on top of your glasses, or whatever happens. Can I bend the glasses back on Shabbos? And the Kaf HaChaim and many others say, no, I can't bend the glasses back because that's fixing them. So yes, maybe it wouldn't be Asur Midoraita, as the Shulchan Aruch says, because they're usable as such, but it's going to sit on my face very lopsided, or it's not even going to sit on my face and I have to hold them like, you know, back in the olden days when you held the glasses on a little stick. That would be Asur, at least Midorabanan, maybe Dioraita, depending on the situation, is what the Kaf HaChaim and the Magen Avraham bring down regarding glasses and needles based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara with skewers. And based on this, I would say, for sure there would be at least an Isur Midorabanan when it comes to bending the metal strip on my face mask on Shabbos. But there's going to be two different things that are going to come here. The first is the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim, sorry, in the Eshel Avraham, where he writes on that Magen Avraham regarding the needle, saying there's a difference between a kli that is going to retain its permanent shape, right? Where a needle or a skewer are meant to retain a permanent shape, right? A skewer, you know, we're talking like the thick metal skewers, like a nice skewer, it's going to retain its shape when you bend it back. Whereas in the face masks are never going to retain their, you know, the little metal there is so cheap, it's so nothing. You know, you buy a face mask for a shekel, you know, then a shekel and a half, whatever, they're so cheap, it's not meant to retain its shape. It bends very, very easily. The point is that it's malleable so that you can, you know, mold it to your face very, very simply with just, you know, a little push of your fingers without having to, you know, really work hard to get it there. It's just meant to be a simple thing that's meant to work very easily. So it's not meant to really retain its shape in any permanent fashion. It's meant to be malleable and changed, you know, here and there without any problems. So as a result, the Prima Gadim would say, in our case, there's no problem with bending the metal face mask back into shape however you would like, because it's not permanent. And we're going to take a step further. The Orcho Shabbos has a long discussion where he discusses, you know, if someone needs to take a shot on Shabbos, without getting into the discussion of different types of shots, you know, intravenous versus muscular versus, you know, the middle ground, Isur D'Oraita D'Rabbanan and Mutar L'Chatchila, you know, in a case where someone needs to take a shot for whatever medical treatment they're going through, then can they use a one-time use syringe? Can you use a single-use syringe on Shabbos? So most of the poskim say really it's better to build this, you know, put the needle on the syringe on Erev Shabbos. Make sure that the needle is pre-built so you don't have this question. But what happens if either you forgot or due to whatever circumstances you couldn't put the syringe together? Are you going to say really there's an Isur D'Rabbanan of putting the syringe to, you know, putting a syringe together on Shabbos, that now you're not going to take your medicine? So the Orchol Shabbos says, no, when we're dealing with chad pa'ami kelim, we're dealing with single-use vessels, such as, you know, a one-time syringe, or in our case, a single-use face mask, then there's no problem with matakin mana. There's no tikkun mana for a one-time thing that you're going to throw in the garbage. This is a discussion regarding, you know, with Rav Moshe, using paper towels on Shabbos. There's no problem of tzviya with a paper towel if, you know, you spill grape juice all over the table and you want to wipe it up. If you were to wipe it up with a white washcloth, that's going to maybe dye the washcloth, you know, purple or red or whatever color, you know, you're dealing with. That might be a problem of tzviya. And Rav Moshe says, with paper towels that are white, that's not a problem because you have no intent of tzviya. All you're doing is basically soaping, you know, sopping up that which spills and throwing it in the garbage. Isn't it, there's no tzvia with something you're throwing in the garbage. And that also, you know, is going to, there's a lot of, Rav Moshe has a few things with Chad Pami where he has a bunch of kulot regarding Chad Pami. And so too, the Rosh Hashanah here says with a syringe, because it's only meant to be a one-time thing, that's not, there's no tikkun for it. Because the tikkun is that you're just, you know, it's inherently not a tikkun because it's meant to be thrown out right after. And as a result, even here where the Shulchan Aruch says that a skewer, bending the skewer back might be yasser d'oraita d'rabbanan, if it was permanent or not, if it was usable or not, would not be a problem with single-use things. So based on everything that we've seen so far, it would really seem to be that we're, when dealing with bona bekelim, it really wouldn't be shayach because it is not permanent and it's not a binyan gamur and it's not a big kli and people aren't, you know, it's not, you know, we're not gluing it and it's already built. You're just, you know, you're making it more usable as opposed to taking it, you know, something new and fashioning it completely from the start. And when dealing with binyan b'shat, it's, you know, it's a one-time thing, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav and the Chasam Sofer paskin like pshat in the Yerushalmi. Sorry, they paskin against the Yerushalmi, like how they understand the Bavli. That really, there's no problem with binyan l'shah. And when dealing with the question of can one intentionally build something in a non-permanent fashion, the Shulchan Aruch, like Rov Rishonim, the Rif, Rosh, Rambam, Ram and Tor, say like the Rashbag, that's motu l'chatchila. And even the Ramah, who's choshesh that, you know, for the Haggadah Shri, that if you're something that, you know, is generally, it's only if something's made to generally be done loosely, but if it's meant to be permanent, and if it is something that is meant to be, you know, affixed, that would be problematic. Here, that's definitely not the case. There's no Gzera Hashem Yitake. And that here, we're not afraid of the permanent building, affixing the skewer, because here, like we're saying, it's Chad Pami, and it's not going to retain its shape. And as a result, both Rav Rimon, in a really beautiful tshuva that was written earlier this week, and Rav Asher Weiss, both Rav Rimon and Rav Asher Weiss, paskined that melechatchila it's mutter to bend the metal face mask on the metal strip on your face mask on Shabbos to ensure that it properly fits over your nose on Shabbos, and it's not a problem, especially when we're dealing with, you know, we add in the question of potential, you know, pikuach nefesh and trying to make sure that everything's done in the most safe and ideal way possible. Everything really, Baruch Hashem, you know, everyone should be makpid to wear their face masks and, you know, wear them in the best way, you know, possible. And to make sure that if on Shabbos, you know, you have to take a new one or, you know, you just need to readjust a little bit, that would be for sure okay. I hope everyone should have a great Shabbos and stay safe from wearing their face mask, and know that if this comes up, feel free to, you know, adjust it. Rav Rimon or Rav Asher Weiss definitely say it's okay, and we should all, Bezrat Hashem, to have minyanim and daven soon, where we don't need to wear face masks and everything should be okay. Hatzlacha Rabbah and good Shabbos.